Hello, I'm Megan Morris-Carter, Director of The Hill. Welcome to Series 3 of our Digital Innovation podcast. The Hill supports an ecosystem of startups, scale-ups, partners, and clinical staff interested in digital innovation, as well as managing a pipeline of innovation into Oxford University hospitals and the wider NHS. Our work supports better patient care through technology and innovation. This series explores some of the technologies that are at the cutting edge of healthcare delivery through the medium of the entrepreneurial journeys of some of the founders in our community, as well as the clinicians they have worked with to pilot their technologies. Hello and welcome to this episode of The Hill's podcast. I'm excited today to be talking about one of our flagship programs, the Market Access Accelerator. And I've got with me three guests today, and I'll just get them to introduce themselves. So can we start with you, Tim?
I'm Tim Bubb. I'm Technical Director at iMed Consultancy. And we're a consultancy that works on medical devices, IVDs, and digital health products.
Hi, I'm Natalie. I'm co-founder and CEO at Surgery AI. I'm also a nurse by background and really excited to be here today.
I am Dr. Rowan Mould. I am the Accelerator Manager at The Hill. I run the Market Access Accelerator Program, among others.
Fantastic. So we've got a great range of views here on the podcast, and we're going to explore a little bit about the program, about Natalie's experience on being on the program, about Tim's support for it, and of course, about the program itself and how Rowan intends to run it for the next year. So let's start off by exploring a little bit more about the program. And of course, one of the key people involved in this program is Rowan. So Rowan, could you start off by telling me a bit more about yourself? What's your history in the startup space?
Sure. So I have a unique perspective, I think, on the startup space in that I've been both the founder, I've led acceleration and incubation programs, and also have an academic grounding in the subject. I founded a company a few years ago that focused on building business tools for startups in South Africa, where I'm from, which I ran for a couple of years. In addition to that, I have worked in the incubation acceleration space, both in South Africa and the UK now. Prior to this role, I was involved in a technology accelerator in the Southwest, where we worked with technology companies between Cornwall, Devon, and Somerset. And prior to that, I worked in Johannesburg in South Africa, where I designed programs for a wide range of small businesses in a variety of sectors. In addition to that, I recently completed a PhD in entrepreneurship, which looked at how incubators and accelerators can improve the effectiveness of the programs that they deliver, and how we can drive greater impact for those companies that we're working with.
Fantastic. And so can you tell us a bit about this program, the Market Access Sure. Accelerator? What's it all about?
So the Market Access Accelerator, or the MAA, is a six-month program that we run every year focused on digital health startups in the UK that are looking at the NHS as their primary market. Effectively, what we try and do is take the startups through 6 months of workshops, hands-on learning about what the NHS is, how it's structured, how we kind of operate behind the scenes to give them a real insight into how do you create a value proposition that fits with the NHS. So we cover really in-depth content around the NHS, as well as around how to build a business that's going to be sustainable. So we look at things like investment raising, financial modeling, making sure that your IP is protected, making sure you've got your regulatory compliance as well as a number of other little, maybe not so much little, a number of other topics that could support the business in its growth journey. That program runs every year starting in June. Alongside the workshops, we have some fantastic mentors who support the program, and being a accelerator that is embedded within a hospital like OUH, it means that we have access to clinical and operational staff that are able to give fantastic insight into about how well a solution fits with the NHS, but equally be able to give feedback about how to change that design, how to change the solution, how to adjust your design or pivot to make it more impactful for the NHS down the line. And it's that level of access that really sets us apart from other programs out there.
And how do you think it benefits both companies and the digital health ecosystem and also the NHS?
So on the one hand, we're kind of growing the ecosystem of digital health companies by supporting these startups, giving them access to resource that they might not otherwise have. And that kind of proliferates by the companies then being able to move on to supply to the NHS down the line. So on the one hand, you've got companies that are looking for support. Getting into the NHS is incredibly difficult, as we know. and it kind of gives a pathway for that. It means that we're able to share expertise, share insights, and kind of leverage off the network that we've built over the last few years. For the NHS, what that means is that we've got access to a great bunch of companies coming up with fantastic solutions that are really the cutting edge of innovation in the space. It means that we're able to identify the solutions that really meet our needs as a trust, and we're able to bring those solutions in, get them piloted, get them trialed, with the goal being that we get them rolled out across the trust in the future.
And we obviously work with quite a range of partners for the program. Yeah. What's the benefit of bringing those partners in?
So I think one of the mistakes that we can make as when we run accelerator programs is assuming that we know it all ourselves. And the reality is that we never know everything that you would need to know to run a successful company. And it's by bringing in partners that we're able to boost the amount of expertise and experience that's available to our founders. So bringing in a partner like IMED, who can bring such specialized and expert knowledge in regards to medical device regulations, digital health regulations, it just means that we're able to offer another level of support for these startups that's really critical to their growth journey. As you can imagine, not getting your regulatory compliance could be a significant barrier to companies being able to scale in the future. And by bringing IMED in, for example, it's been great to really get that grounding in terms of what is required as companies go forward to commercialize.
So Tim, can we come to you next? And can you tell us a bit about IMED and why you decided to support the Hills Accelerator?
Yes, thank you very much for the question. So IMED's a quality and regulatory consultancy focused specifically on the medical device, in vitro diagnostic and digital health space. And my own experience, I'm very much from a background of engineering and design, looking at safety aspects, looking at performance aspects, looking at what clinical evidence is necessary to get a medical device or digital health product to the market. Because ultimately, we are working in this space in a very regulated, highly regulated space. And it is quite difficult as a startup to understand what you need to do, how you need to get your product to market, what regulations you need to meet. It's a very complex space that's difficult to understand if you don't know and don't have access to experts to help you to unravel and unpick the spaghetti of regulation that you need to meet as a company to legally comply and sell your product. So one of the things that we really help with, and we've got a team of experts that can support this, is to understand where your product sits in the market and how to position your product to get, particularly for startups, your minimum viable product to market in as effective way as possible with as few missteps, generating the right evidence at the right time.
And what do you see as the benefits of an accelerator program?
I think the main benefit of an accelerator program is access to experts at that early stage of ideation and development, where you as a company might not have all of the expertise in-house, but you have access to lots of different experts in lots of different places to understand, say, the IP profile of your product, to understand the competitive landscape, to understand the regulatory landscape, to feed this into how you're going to develop your product and what features, what functions, how you present your product to your customers that meets all of those objectives and is able to be commercially sold.
And do you think it's particularly important for digital health companies? I mean, obviously, it's quite a complex regulatory landscape for sure, and I think quite complex in terms of the development of the products as well.
It certainly is, and particularly as we start looking at things like machine learning, artificial intelligence coming into the fore as well with many different products. The level of regulatory burden and the evidence that you need to generate through your development process is increasing over time. So regulation 10 years ago is quite different to what regulation is now, and you need to meet more regulatory requirements now than you did as a software product a little while ago. So as a startup, understanding that is an important first step, but also looking at what you need to do, how you need to do it, and develop your product in a way that generates the right evidence at the right time is important, and something that startups do find quite difficult. One of the things as a digital health product is you can be part of different sets of regulation depending upon how you position your product, and changing how you claim your product can be used. And the difference of one word in that claimed use can be the difference between 6 months to getting your product to market and 2 years to getting your product to market. And that's one of the key things that we take a look at with early stage startups at this stage, is how can we optimize your regulatory positioning to make sure that you get to market as early as possible with the right product. Second to that, one of the things that we try to help participants to understand is really what are regulators looking for. And often we see that there is a common goal between regulators, customers, and purchasers. Ultimately, everyone's looking for safety, performance, and clinical effectiveness of a product. And for some, there's also the other consideration of cost effectiveness. So that's one of the areas that we're looking at in terms of how do you fit within the regulatory requirements, but also how does that impact upon the commercial considerations as well. In terms of the availability of expertise, access to an accelerator program really, really gives you access to those experts in the room that can help to support you in understanding that and to develop your product as you go forwards.
And just to bring that to life to for people, could you just tell us a bit about what sessions you run on the accelerator? I believe you do some group sessions and also one-to-one. Is that correct?
Yes. So one of the things that we take a look at, so particularly within the Hill, there are quite a few products that are straddling the space between consumer wellness, health lifestyle, medical device, and being used in the NHS, not as a medical device, but having an element of clinical risk. So those are three separate regulated product spaces. And some of them come with more regulatory requirements, some of them come with less regulatory requirements. So understanding, particularly as a startup, if you can use a regulated space which requires less evidence upfront for your minimum viable product is something that we help people on the program to understand and look at those different routes that they could potentially take with their product to get to that minimum viable product state.
Thank you, Tim. Natalie, you're obviously one of those products. Well, not you yourself, but your company, obviously. You've been on the 2024 program. You've benefited from some of the support from IMED and other partners, as well as from Rowan and the program. We're going to hear a little bit more about Surgery AI, your startup, in a separate episode. But for now, can you introduce the 30-second pitch for the company?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Megan. So at Surgery AI, we are on a mission to bring down waiting list times for treatment. And we do this with a smart scheduling solution that helps hospitals schedule high volumes of patients in the most efficient way. And the smart part comes in with machine learning, which we train on past surgery data to have more accurate predictions of the duration of the procedure. And that enables an increase in the number of patients that can be treated in a particular day, month, year, and as well, a huge time saving for administrative staff who are scheduling these patients.
Fantastic. And why did you decide to join the program?
Well, in large part, it was actually thanks to you, Megan. I applied for Rewired Pitch Fest, and it feels like almost, it was last year at some point. And we didn't get into Pitch Fest, but you reached out. I think you went back through the applicants and then you reached out, and I was always interested in the Hill, but I just didn't think that I was maybe at the right stage or ready yet to apply. And the fact that you reached out was a big boost, but also it was so great that you did, because it's allowed me to be here today. And I was able to attend a social mixer in Birmingham and meet the team. And I met some previous cohort members. And that really changed, it didn't change my mind. It sort of reinforced the fact that I really wanted to join this program. And hearing from, the feedback from people who had been on the program, how valuable it was, and just being a part of this community, just for that one evening social mixer was, I would say, the factor that really drove me to make the actual application to the MAA.
And how have you found your experience?
So far, excellent. I'm not just saying that. I have been on a few accelerators, so I do actually have I have some things to compare it to, and I will not name the other ones because they've been excellent as well, but just very different. And I think the difference with this particular accelerator is how closely you work with Oxford University Hospitals and with an NHS trust, which is very unusual. And if I may say, maybe even you're maybe the only one, as far as I'm aware, that works this closely with an NHS trust. And that has made this experience incredibly valuable, as well as, you know, experts like Tim. And I mean, Rowan, you're an expert in your own field. And even Megan, I mean, the talks that you've given have been really, really excellent. So far, it's been an incredible experience. So touching on Tim's point about the commercial landscape, one of the sessions that I found, or two of the sessions actually that I found incredibly useful was, first of all, Megan, your first session around the cost structure in the NHS, which is a very complex thing to understand. And I feel like you really broke that down and helped me understand it and then explain it to my team. And that's really it's really important to be able to find out what is it that's going to make the CFO, for example, say, yes, this is what we need, or this is what's going to make a difference, because it can't just make sense to patients and staff, which are incredibly important. It also has to make sense to the hospital, which at the end of the day is a business. The other talk that was really important, was really valuable, was with the CFO. And I mean, who has the chance to be in the same room even as the CFO of a large NHS trust? And he has such an incredible understanding of the NHS and the finances and how, what makes a product valuable to the NHS and what maybe you need to tweak a little bit in order to make it seem, or not seem, but make it more valuable. And I think those were really valuable talks that you wouldn't normally get access to, and that I think are really important to a startup, especially innovating in the healthcare space. The cost structure is really complicated, and The Hill has really helped me break that down. And then as well, iMed comes in as an expert and helps bring all of that together.
And what sort of progress have you made with the business throughout your time at the accelerator?
I feel like this accelerator has really driven the testing phase forward, so the product market fit. And within the NHS, as you're probably aware, it's quite complicated to even get a foot in the door. And I think this has been an incredible link to not only the trust, but also to specific people inside the trust. And Ed's been a huge part of that with the clinical engagement, to engage you with the right team within the hospital that will help ensure that your product is being tested in the right environment, but also that those people are able and willing to support you in developing and iterating your product.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Natalie. Tim, I think you wanted to
come. I think that's a really interesting point, because I think one of the things that as a startup you really need to look at is, what's the unmet clinical need? What are clinicians actually looking for? And that early stage interaction to understand what are your customer requirements, really, really important. Some startups don't do this, and in the end, it sometimes leads to a compromised product being developed. So ultimately, at that early stage, getting clinician feedback is really, really important, and seeing, can you trial? Can you see how this product works? Can you iterate and develop in that early stage where it's easy and quick to do iterations?
Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the fundamental things that not just the accelerator, but that the whole of The Hill tries to achieve, actually, is thinking about, there are some fantastic people who are innovating, who are producing new things, who are researching, who are being entrepreneurial in this space. But there's a lot of people also trying to deliver clinical care. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those worlds are very far apart, and it can be quite difficult for people to understand each other's perspectives. And so one of the things we try and do with those networking events, with the programs, is to bring together those communities and to help people understand what it's like to be on the other side of the fence, and therefore hopefully make the whole digital health ecosystem more efficient and more effective, because we're creating companies that are more likely to be successful because they're actually solving a problem for someone. And we're also helping those clinical staff to understand what is out there in the marketplace and enthusing them to adopt those digital products, and therefore hopefully making the NHS a better market for the products at the end of the day as well.
Yeah. I like it. I think the thing that really really drives home, I think, what we're trying to achieve is the fact that we do a lot of work. I mean, obviously, Megan, you'll know this, but we do a lot of work to understand what the needs are on the front line. We put in the time with the clinicians to understand what those needs areas are. We bring that into our recruitment for the program. And those of you who will be applying for the 25 program will see this when we launch some posts around it on social media soon. But we work really hard to understand that and build the match between the companies that we're working with and the needs on the front line. Because ultimately, if we can get that match right, it means that we're able to deliver a higher quality of care. We're able to reduce waiting lists. We're able to save time, save money for the NHS. And it just means a better experience for everyone. And I think, you know, there are a lot of great innovations out there. But ultimately, like Tim was saying, you need to be solving a problem for someone on the ground for it to work. And I think part of what we are trying to do is understand what those problems are so that we can say, yeah, this is a great fit. No, that's not a great fit. And like you were saying, Megan, it just builds out that ecosystem to be able to say, yeah, we have a better understanding generally of how the NHS works and what the NHS needs in terms of innovation. And that will lead to, you know, more innovations being adopted, just a greater impact when it comes to bringing technology and innovation into the trust or the NHS as a whole.
And this is the point also where, following the Darzi review and the intentions of the Labour government, that the NHS is going to be reformed, it needs reformed. And one of the key tenets of that for digital health companies is that it's going to be a digital first revolution. So now is the perfect time to be taking a look at what innovations does the NHS need? How can we help to develop products that will meet unmet clinical needs, that will make the NHS more efficient, more effective as it goes through this digital transformation?
And ensuring that we're building products alongside the NHS, for the NHS. And I think that's the incredible value that you deliver, is the ability to build and test and deliver this value for the NHS. And I think the fact that we're able to work so closely with, you know, clinical members as well as people a lot higher up within the hospital, it ensures that this product is meeting an unmet need, like Tim was saying, and that we're making sure that we're not just building for the sake of building, but also, or innovating for the sake of innovating, but actually making a real difference and having an impact that's going to last and that's going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons that we worked really hard to get, you know, senior leaders from the trust involved. This year we've had our CFO come and talk to the cohort a couple of times. We had our chief medical officer in to talk to the cohort. And it's that level of buy-in that I think is really crucial to understanding that we're meeting needs on the front line, but also in the boardroom effectively of the trust, and you have that buy-in, you know, from kind of the top to the bottom. And I think having that access is just something that you don't find in a lot of other programs. I think you're able to have a conversation with the CFO whilst having conversations with the clinical department that's probably the most relevant for you. Mm-hmm. And that all of that kind of feedback is helping you build a product that, yeah, could get a pilot, a trial, because the clinical department believes in it, but also could get adopted in the future, because you know what we're looking for when it comes to a kind of a management perspective or procurement perspective down the line as well.
And we're incredibly fortunate to sit within Oxford University Hospitals, which is an innovative trust. There's lots of innovative people and a real thirst for innovation, I think, within the organisation, which really helps.
Yeah, 100%.
So what do you think is the best stage of business to enter the accelerator? Who do you think benefits most from the accelerator? And I don't know, Natalie, maybe I should come to you first, since you're obviously on this journey yourself.
Sure. I would recommend companies that are at a stage where they're a little bit further than an idea, and so that they would be able to test that idea in practice, or ready to test it in practice. And also, I find that the workshops and the talks, which are really excellent, are maybe a little bit more advanced than that idea stage. So I would recommend I would recommend it to anyone, but maybe to have a little bit further than the idea stage to begin with.
Yeah, I'd second that. I think that there are a number of programs out there that can give you a good grounding in how the NHS operates. If you're at that idea stage and you're looking to test, in a conceptual way. But if you're ready to really pursue kind of the go-to-market strategy of working with the NHS, then this is a good program for you. If you've got something that's maybe been validated in the lab, or you've done some early stage testing, but you're now ready to, as Natalie says, kind of test in practice, get a real world evaluation, this is probably the right sort of stage to come to us. We don't necessarily focus too much on where you are in the investment raising journey. It's more about how mature or how ready your kind of product is, your technology is, that enables us to work with you. If you are ready to go in terms of you've got your initial kind of MVP together and you're ready to go and put into a pilot in a trust, that's the kind of stage we want to start talking to you. If you're still kind of dealing with an idea and you're wanting to test it, very happy to have a conversation and kind of give some guidance. But I think ultimately you probably need to put a little bit more work in and look to come to us when you've got that initial MVP under your belt. It just means that we're able to engage with clinicians in a much more productive way and use their very valuable and limited time in a way that really delivers impact rather than kind of spending too much time on floating ideas and so on. So we tend to look at that sort of stage as being kind of prime. That being said, if you've got the next amazing idea, we still probably want to hear about it. Mm-hmm.
And that then takes us also to within the availability of experts in the program. If you have your idea, you're looking at taking that idea forwards and developing it further, having that focused conversation on the areas that you really need to have that conversation on is really, really important around the particulars of the IP, the particulars of the regulatory strategy, because there is limited time to speak to those experts within the program. So having that clear focus of what your product is and how you're going to get it to market is important.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, the partners we have on board, the mentors we have on board have all kind of been through this journey before. They can give you really great insights, but I think ultimately the best value you're going to get from the program is as Natalie says, if you're ready to get your product into practice, you know, that's where kind of everything just clicks in terms of how we design the program.
I'd like to take you back to the investment piece, Rowan, because obviously we do cover investment raising in the program don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. So as I said, we don't focus too much on where you are in that investment journey. So you could be pre-seed with an MVP ready to go. That'd be absolutely ideal. If you are, you know, already raised a seed round and you're looking to commercialize that, that's not an issue for us in terms of recruitment. But what we can offer is additional investment readiness support. We run an investor showcase for the MAA every year, and we support that with some investor training, and that we do with our kind of network of investors that we've curated, as well as some hands-on kind of pitch development support. So we try and cover, and I think it's like I said earlier, we try and cover the fact that we need to know about the NHS, but we also need to be building a business that's sustainable and has got the ability to scale, and investment plays a really key role in that. So we're able to support on that element as well.
So what do you look for in a good application, Rowan, when someone's trying to put forward their pitch to be a part of the program?
I think ultimately it boils down to a couple of things. And I think the one thing we always keep an eye out for is how well it fits with what we're looking for in terms of needs on the front line. So as I mentioned before, we do a lot of work to identify what the kind of needs are on a ongoing basis on the front line. If there's a really clear and obvious fit with that, it makes a very compelling case to bring a company on. I think in addition to that, we also want to look at, you know, what sort of stage you're at as a company. If you have raised your Series B and you're, you know, taking over the world, you're probably not quite a good fit for our accelerator program. Either way, if you've got a fantastic technology, it'd be great to have a conversation because we'd like to know what's going on, and there might be other ways of working with you. But I think if you're kind of in the right sort of pre-seed to Series A stage, we're very happy to work with companies in that space. But ultimately, it's how well do you fit the needs we've gathered? Is the company in the right sort of stage? Do we believe that the team you've got can execute on the plan that you have? And I think additionally, is the NHS really your primary market? We do often get a lot of applicants who are, let's say, kind of NHS adjacent. You know, we get quite a lot of kind of wellness applications every year. And it's not to say that there's no space for you on our program. We have worked with kind of wellness focused products before and to some great success. However, I think there needs to be a really clear use case, or we need to be able to identify potential for a really clear use case in the NHS. And for our context, typically that's in a kind of secondary care acute trust setting. But ideally, that use case needs to be really kind of clear and obvious. I think if we see an application that says there's a link to the needs we've identified, the company's the right stage, got a good team behind it, and there's a clear and obvious use case that's applicable to our context, it would make it really difficult to say no to that company.
think particularly in the wellness space, where we're taking a look at preventative medicine, that's again going to be one of the focus areas of the NHS, how to prevent illness in the future so there isn't a burden on the healthcare system going forwards.
Yeah, 100%. And that's the thing. We worked with a mental health company that, you know, we would probably put it in that kind of wellness category. And they had a fantastic experience on the program. And they've had a fantastic success in terms of piloting with us. So it's not to say that wellness is a taboo area for us. It's just that there needs to be that clear and obvious use case for Trust Our Gals. And those that are, you know, maybe slightly more kind of socially orientated or more kind of very community orientated and don't kind of have that clear link, probably not a great fit. But those that can really point to saying, yeah, we can do something that can complement what is already happening in the NHS. We can do something that could lead to, you know, a reduction in readmissions, for example, that might be more kind of wellness focused. That's something we want to talk about. The other thing that I think is sometimes a little bit unclear for people is that you don't need to have already been working in the NHS to apply for our program. If you've already had a trial or pilot, there's absolutely no reason you couldn't apply for our program. We like to hear from companies that have already got some experience. But if you have no experience working with the NHS and you're really looking at it as a primary market, we're very happy to hear from you. Likewise, if you're a foreign company looking at the UK as a market, we often have a couple of foreign companies in our program every year. You really see it as a great soft landing for them in the UK market as well. So we're quite open. But again, it's use case, it's match with needs, it's making sure you're kind of at the right stage, and team are probably the four things that would really jump out at us.
It's probably also worth mentioning that, of course, we have a digital brand and yep. we support digital health companies. And that's partly because, as I'm sure, Tim, you would say, in the regulatory space, there is a specific set of regulatory requirements for that. There's a specific set of challenges that you experience when you're trying to adopt an innovation within the healthcare space. Having said that, I think we take digital as being a fairly broad church. And we've helped with all sorts of different types of products which have, you know, potentially a software component or some kind of digital component, but aren't necessarily what you might consider a classic sort of app or piece of software.
Yeah, that's very true. I think, you know, we're quite flexible with how we apply the term digital to companies that we're working with. And I think it's about understanding, again, what the potential is for the kind of a digital use case. Equally, I think there can be sometimes a misconception that we only work with clinical solutions. Natalie can attest that that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes it is also an operational solution that makes a really big impact, because it's not just about, is there a new way we can deliver care? It's also about, is there a way we can deliver care in a more efficient and effective manner? A lot of that happens behind the scenes and not necessarily at the bedside. So we're quite happy to take, you know, a good look at operational solutions as well.
And of course, as the technological landscape evolves, we're seeing more and more digitally enabled medical devices that have hardware, that have software, that produce data, and that data then being useful to further analyze, predict, and then inform clinical decision making to improve how care is delivered. And I think that's a trend that we'll see emerging over the course of the next few years.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think one of the things that, again, stands out about working with OUH is not just our program, which I think is fantastic because I run it, but also the fact that we have we are the base for the Thames Valley and Surrey secure data environment. So I think the secure data environment is going to be a real game changer for what we're able to do with data from the NHS for the betterment of the NHS, for the improvement of care, for doing things in a more effective way, for being more efficient, and that's something that will really, I think, start, you know, kicking off some major advancements in the next couple of years as well.
So final word from you, Natalie. And what's your advice on how to get the most out of the program if you are successful in getting onto the program?
Sure, that's a really good question. I would say one of the things I really love about the program is the encouragement to be in person, and that most of the sessions you run, you need to be in Oxford. In reality, it's incredibly valuable to be around other founders in, you know, an environment where it feels like it's ripe for learning. And I've really enjoyed coming to Oxford, being with the other teams and meeting the experts in person, like Tim, and we did one-on-one together. And I think that makes such a difference to be in person with not only other team members, but also with the experts themselves. And then you're able to, after the conversation, like on a Zoom call, it's a bit difficult to, after the call, be like, oh, can I just ask you a question? Or can we stay on the two of us? Whereas in person, you can go and talk to them and follow up and create a bit of a relationship that can continue, and you don't know how long that may continue for. So I would say definitely try and show up. I think that's the first step, is showing up. And then secondly, is not just showing up, but also going away and following up with those people, seeing how best you can use the information that you've learned.
I just wanted to touch on one of Rowan's points around being a company focused on the NHS. I also want to say that that doesn't limit you to the NHS. And I think the NHS is an incredible springboard to other opportunities. And it's got an incredible reputation, even around the world, globally, that if your product can deliver value in the NHS, it can deliver value anywhere.
It gives you the opportunity to really get into the Oxford ecosystem as well. It's a real hub for innovation within the country, alongside Cambridge, alongside areas of London, particularly for the digital health space. And as a startup, getting to know who's part of the industry, who are your customers, who do you need to speak to, who to connect with, that becomes a really, really key part of growing your business, getting to know, for instance, key opinion leaders within Oxford and within the NHS Trust, that you could use to understand how your product fits into the market, how they look to see how products will evolve in the future, to be able to develop your minimum viable product, but then also think about what's the future of my company as well. How am I going to continue developing my product going forwards and building those interlinks in place?
I think you make a very good point, actually. I mean, I've been building innovation ecosystems and running accelerators for many years. And I think one of the real benefits of coming on a program like this is the connections that you make, is that sort of group of people, that sense of support, and the fact that you're part of that wider ecosystem. And we're always very keen to make sure that we introduce our accelerator participants to our partners, to other people we work with, and make sure that they make the right connections within the ecosystem, because sometimes it is who you know rather than what you know that makes you successful as a startup.
Yeah, and I think it's why we've designed the program, which is ultimately a hybrid program, in that we do, you know, we do the majority of our sessions in person, but there are online sessions as well. But the reason that we've kind of prioritized in-person sessions is exactly as Natalie was saying. It's a connection with not only the other companies in your cohort, which could lead to fantastic collaboration opportunities as we're seeing in this year, but also it's the ability to follow up with speakers, to have a little conversation, to go and steal a couple minutes of their time that you wouldn't otherwise get. I don't think as a startup looking at the NHS, it's really hard to go get 2 minutes of the CFO's time to ask them kind of very specific questions. But that's why we do our sessions with speakers like that in person. It means that you are able to have those conversations, you're able to build those connections. And then, you know, one day when your company name slides across the CFO's desk for approval, it's like, yeah, okay, I know that person. I've seen that business. I've had a conversation with them. And I think that in-person connection is really important. But likewise, we have companies from all over the world that's in our program. So we also then, give the option for some online sessions. And I'd say about 60% of our sessions are in person, with the remainder online. And I think that kind of balance just helps a little bit with logistics, because I'm sure Natalie can attest, running a startup is hard work. It's not always easy to find the time to come up for a day to Oxford. But what we try and do is really build that sense of community, build that feeling that you are embedded in that ecosystem. Like Tim was saying, you are a part of what is going on in Oxford, because you are in person, you are meeting the people through social mixes, through our workshops and our kind of talks. So it's something we tried really hard to kind of cultivate this year.
And I think you've done a great job, Rowan. We did actually run this program completely online the first time that it was run as an accelerator, because it was during COVID. And it was pretty hard work for everyone involved, I think. But I think, Rowan, since you've come on board, you've very much kind of brought that cohort feel. You've brought some of those sessions in person, really built that community. And it's been a fantastic development of the program and a really good way of giving extra value, I think, to our participants. So I think I'd like to close there and say thank you ever so much to the three guests we've had today. So Tim, Natalie and Rowan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
And we're looking forward to lots of new applicants to the program. The applications are open right now, and there will be an opportunity to speak to Rowan if you wish to do so, and also to talk to some of the alumni from the program if you'd like to understand a little bit more about whether it's for you.
You've been listening to the Hill's Digital Innovation Podcast. Find out more about our work bringing digital technologies into the NHS at www.thehilloxford.org. You'll see details of our open access events, as well as applications to programmes such as our flagship Market Access Accelerator for startups looking to work with the NHS. Don't forget to also check out Series 1 and 2 of the podcast.